that God has touched your life. And he hasn't touched your life yet, he will. And I tell you what, I've been away and I have been thinking and praying and seeking God. And there's some things that I just want to see Life Point go to another level. Okay? I'm not going to talk about that today. I'm not. I'll wait. But I do. I want to see Life Point go to another level. And what I mean by that, somebody said, what's that mean? Well, I don't really know what that means, except that we can come up a notch or two. We were in a service there in D.C. that was just so powerful. And I thought, man, if our church would sing and worship like this, man, I mean, you just sit there and you cry and you worship God. I know y'all get that, okay? And I've seen some folks crying, but I'm just saying, when we enter in with a heart of thanksgiving and praise and worship, and there were some songs they sang I didn't even know. How about that? You know what I did? I ain't worshiping God. I don't know that song. I didn't know. No, I tried to learn it. And some of them pretty easy. You learn it, you sing it a few times, and then I close my eyes, and thank God the words were up there. I could peek out every now and then if I got off. But what I'm saying is, worship is a spirit of thanksgiving and admiration, and you see how big God is and how small you really are. Well, let's save that for another time. Sermon number 3 now, okay? I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. No, I'm sorry. I was going to read Romans chapter 4. That's not what I want at all. I got it up. Whoa, that's not it, my friend. That's what I preached before I left. Did I give you the wrong one? That's what I preached last Friday night, if you were there. I needed all y'all there. Thank God some of you were there, Brother Kevin. Amen. And didn't go over too good, but anyhow. It was the truth, though, you know. They wanted me to tell them that, you know, they were really blessed and, you know, they're going to be millionaires and God was, you know, you read, you get saved because God's, did I give it to you? There it is. But I told them, if you want the fullness of God, you got to die to yourself. And it's simply more of you, less of God. Less of you, more of God. Amen? It's not about us. I don't want to talk about us this morning. Except for the fact that we are the recipients of something greater than you could ever, ever imagine. Could you imagine? I read a story. Well, let me just remind me to come back to that story, okay? Hebrews chapter 7, verse 22. Because of this oath, Jesus has become the guarantor of a better covenant. Now, there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office. They died. They couldn't continue doing what they were doing because they died. But because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God. Notice that, 25. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day after day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all, when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priests men in all their weaknesses, but the oath, which came after the law, appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. Oh, that's powerful. Now let me just zero in on this. This is really the text out of that. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. In the Amplified Bible, I just want you to see this. Therefore, he is able to save to the uttermost, completely, perfectly, finally, and for all time and eternity, those who come to God through him. There's the key, through him. Since he is always living to make petition to God and intercede with him. and intervene for them. You may be seated. Now, the story. I already forgot what it was. Amen. I really did. Amen. Well, it'll come back in a minute. You see, I want to show you something first, and I don't have time to read. I wish I did have time to read, but Romans chapter 5, I mentioned a minute ago, is probably my favorite chapter in the New Testament. It's just phenomenal. There's just so much in it. And what it says in there is what Christ does. He died for the ungodly. And then it tells us what he did to do it, or when he did it, is when we were sinners, when we were ungodly, when we were enemies of God. And then it tells us the why. It tells us he died to show God's love towards us, to save us, and here's the key, to save us from the wrath of God. The wrath of God. Do you realize every human being that is born today is born under the wrath of God? Under the judgment of sin? For by one man sin entered into the world, and by sin as it came into the world, everyone has to die. For the wages of sin are death. But the good news of the gospel is, you got to tell the bad news before you tell the good news. And the bad news is, we are all born under sin, the judgment of sin, and there's no way to escape it. But the good news is that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, his Son. But I want you to understand that there is no salvation any other way but through Christ. You can't get there by good works. You can't get there by doing good things. You can't get there by going to church. You can't get there by just giving to the poor. There's nothing you could do possibly on this earth that could ever secure and obtain your salvation for eternity. But there's the good news is Christ came to die for us while we were yet sinners. That simply means why we were in rebellion to God, why we were against God, why we lived our whole life in the opposite direction of God. Thank God he loved us enough to pick us up and pull us out and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, and we have this hope, and the hope of glory is Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. You see, it says in Romans chapter 5, and I'm just going to allude to that just for a moment because I don't have a lot of time, but in verse 6 it says we were powerless, incapable of working this thing out. Incapable. There's no way we could do it. Righteousness is impossible for us. Now, there's two camps. I don't know which one you fall in. I hope you fall in my camp. Hope you're in my camp. But there's one camp that says that you are such a great person. You're such a wonderful being. You're the creation of God, and he sees something in you, and that's why he died on the cross, because he wanted, and so what it does, it puts the focus on you and how great you are and what you've got to offer God. And then there's the other camp, and that is we're all sinners. And we were born in sin. There's nothing good in us. The heart of man is evil, and Jeremiah said that you can't, it's just not good, okay? And man in his intrinsic self is not good. You don't believe that? Just look at some of the atrocities. I went to the Holocaust Museum. It tells me man left to himself is not good. You don't believe that? Well, read the book of Genesis. The Bible said the end of all of that is that man is so bad that God had to drown the whole world in a flood, and he kept not eight people because Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. What are you saying? I'm saying man left to himself is not good. And Jesus did not come to show us how good we were, but I want you to know when you look at that cross, you see how great God is, how holy God is, how worthy the Lamb is, and he washed away our sins, and thank God he took away the wrath. And he took the punishment and the death. And we don't have to die. Amen. Because we have the gift of God. But it's about him, not us. Amen. Okay, you're in that camp. I hope you're. But now that we're saved, a lot of us spend the rest of our life wondering if we are. I think I need a little bit of monitoring. You know, I ain't preached in a week, man. voice a little weak. You know, it's like working out. You see, the deal is that we have this hope, but some people don't live with that hope. They know generally we have hope, and we talk about hope, and we preach about hope, we sing about, but I'm talking about way down deep in your soul. Sometimes the devil wants to kind of, you know, just kind of bring it up to you, some of the things you messed up with on this week. Did you mess up? Don't raise your hand. Did you have a bad thought? Don't raise your hand. Did you want to choke somebody out? Please don't raise your hand. I mean, you know, I'm just using a few examples. I'm just telling you, when we just look at the whole situation here and we realize that, you know, that we're saved, but you say, wait a minute. I just don't. Sometimes I get this feeling, am I really going to make it? Am I going to make it? Well, I got good news for you. That's what the scripture says. You're going to make it. If you're saved, if you're born again. Now, there was a man, and I'm going to tell this real quickly, but he came to a river, and on that river, it was iced over. And it was the dead of winter, and he was afraid that if he crossed this river, that somewhere along the line, that the river would collapse, and he'd fall through to the icy waters, no one to save him. He thought, man, this is not good. And so he got down on his hands and his knees, and he crawled by the inch, waiting to hear a crack. If he heard a crack, he's going to retreat. If he heard just a little bit of, he's gone. He kept crawling, worried, under the power of fear and unbelief, not believing that this thing could hold him up because he was afraid the ice was too thin. But suddenly, from the top of a hill, he heard some rumbling. It was back in the days when they had wagons. It was full of iron and metal, and it was very, very heavy, but it was being pulled by 6 horses, and a man was driving the wagon, and he had to literally roll up out of the way to get out of the way, because here comes that wagon with that big, heavy load of iron, and it rolled straight across the river. Now, you'll get the point when you start teaching nachos after a while. Point is, he didn't have nothing to worry about, did he? What he was worried about was it collapsing, but that yet something much, 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 much more heavier than he was able to cross it, and it gave him the faith. I want you to know that's the way a lot of people are. They get saved, and then the rest of their life, they just kind of crawl along, wondering, am I going to fall? Is it going to happen? We don't believe in one saved, always saved, you know, and all of that, and we don't. But we do believe in eternal salvation is eternal, amen? And we do believe that when you get saved, if you're still going in the right direction, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, but I'm just saying this, that it's solid. Can I tell you the blood of Jesus Christ is solid? Can I tell you that he has power to keep you, not just save you, but to keep you from falling? He is able and more than able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you ask or think, according to the power that worketh in you. That's the power of the blood, the power of Jesus. And so he loves us. I just want to get this out of the way because I really haven't got there yet, okay? I wish I could remember that story. Anyhow. You know, let me put it to you this way, and I promise you, I'm not going to keep you long. I really won't. Somebody buy me dinner, I'll get out of here quicker. Just kidding. Everybody's proud of their kids. Well, I see a couple of y'all dropped your head just now. Really, you know your kids, and you love your kids. And you know, when they do something, you know, they're up on the stage, and man, I'm telling you, that's mine right up there. You think everybody's looking at your kid, but they're looking at theirs, okay? And I told myself I wasn't going to be one of those guys, you know. I wasn't going to be that guy that told everybody about my grandkids. And a little funny thing said, nobody cares. Don't look at me like that, Grandma. I'm sorry. No one sees your kids like you see your kids. The sweet little things that are so sweet and so unbelievable to you that should be made into a movie, a Hallmark movie. My kids are so sweet. I want you to know nobody else really cares. I'm just being honest. That's my child up there. Boy, there's listen to them sing. Oh, that was my son that made 30 points in the basketball game. Now, we're proud of it. What about the bad days, though? What about the bad days? Not so quick to throw the praise up. Not so quick to say, hey, go to the barbershop. That's my son in Muskogee mugs right there. Praise God. Look at him, man. He took a good picture, didn't he? Huh? Is that, you kind of get the point? But the fact is, when the bad days come, we're not so willing to identify with them as much, is what I'm saying. But let me just tell you this, and I'm just going to tell you real quickly, and that is Jesus Christ identifies you with you on the good days and the bad days, okay? He's proud of you. He loves you. And you never quit loving that son, even if he's in Muskogee mugs. Even if you have to haul him off to Lexington. It doesn't matter. You still love that child, but you're not as proud of that child. But let me tell you something. Christ Jesus loves us in the good days, the bad days, the ugly days, the times when we're up and the times when we're down, because he loves us not like you love everyone. He loves us differently, with real love. You ever seen an ugly baby? I have. Didn't tell them that. But I have. But I've never seen a parent that thought their kid looked like an alien. I never seen, they show the pictures and you say, nice. What else you say? I don't know. That's the ugliest kid I've ever seen in my life. No, you don't say that. But they don't say, I don't care how ugly they are. I want you to know, the parent still loves them. And my point is this, I don't care how ugly you are, okay? God still loves you. Now, I'm not talking about your physical appearance, but I'm saying this. We've been reconciled unto God. That's a Greek word that means to effect a change, to exchange. The term appears with the preposition in tense form that strengthens the phrase to read, now all these things are from God who effected in us through change back to himself through Christ. Okay, so we've been reconciled to God. Obviously, I want you to know that he takes something that is not equal and he reconciles us to him. We don't reconcile ourselves or him to us. We're reconciled unto God. Okay, and he takes our sin, he takes our ugliness, he takes all the badness in us, he takes all that Adamic nature that caused us to be under the penalty of sin, and he washed my sins away. And so thank God. I want you to understand, you're not as far from God as you think you are. If you're in Christ, you're in Christ. If you're in Jesus, you're in Jesus. It's not just on the good days, it's also on the bad days. But if you keep your eyes stayed on him, I tell you, one day you're going to wake up with a brand new life. Okay, now let's talk about this a minute. You see, I ran into a girl in D.C. and it got me to thinking. She's a biologist at the Pentagon. See, I told you, you talk to people, you learn stuff. And I began to talk to her about some biology, which I know nothing about, but you've got to kind of bluff your way through if you're going to get some answers. And I asked her a lot of different questions. I asked her a little bit, but nevertheless, I asked the question, what about cancer? She works in the Pentagon working on infectious diseases and trying to find cures for all these things so there won't be any pandemics and epidemics in our nation. And I said, what about cancer? With all of our technology, why can't we find a cure for cancer? She said, there'll never be a cure for cancer. I said, what about those old guys who used to tell me? I knew a veterinarian, out in the country that had a horse that had cancer. He could heal it. Y'all ever heard that story? Or dogs? Hello? She said, you didn't? Where you been? That's a fact. Amen. That's a fact. But anyway, I'm preaching on this side, okay? A little more friendly looking over here. Anyhow. Mm-hmm. Well, it's my service. Would you just... Okay. If you're a first-time visitor, this lady is really a good lady. We like to give her a hard time. But said there'll never be a cure. Why there'll never be a cure? She said, because it's just inherent within us. Everyone has it. And what happens is, as your body breaks down on the physical, and you don't believe that, look in the mirror, it's breaking down, you're not what you used to be, okay? I hate to tell you that. It's a discouraging thing, but you're not. But the fact is, what you see on the outside is also going on the inside. So your organs and all your cells are all breaking down. There comes a point in your life, she said this, and I'll never forget it. She said that if you lived long enough, everyone would die of cancer. Everyone would die of cancer. And you say, I don't believe that. Well, you don't work at the Pentagon, okay? And you're not a biologist. But she said, because it's in us, and it's just a breakdown of your cells, and instead of dying, they multiply, that becomes the mass. And she said that, you know, and she even said you could even take a test, and this is some kind of geno test, that you could find out what you're going to die with. And said, you know, it's not exact, but pretty much I can tell you a good percentage of what you're going to die with. I said, negative. I want to be hit by the blind side, okay? I don't want to know. But the good news is that Christ Jesus came to die for our sins, because all of us are going to die in this flesh. Okay? But it got me to thinking. Sin is like a virus. It infects every human being that ever lived. And there's no way to get around it. We're born defective. We're all born flawed. We're all born with sin. And I don't care how good we are, the Bible said our righteousness is as dirty rags before God. If you really want to judge yourself, don't judge yourself by yourself. And don't judge yourself with the guy next to you on the pew or the woman across the room. Don't judge her. You see, because the problem is, if you do that, you're unwise. If you judge yourself by yourself, you're unwise. If you judge yourself with others, you're unwise. But if you judge yourself with Jesus Christ, the perfect one, because I want you to understand, he is perfect, he never sinned, and God is holy, absolutely pure, absolutely consistent, absolutely everything that you could ever imagine, and more than that, and he has never sinned. If you compare yourself to him, you fall short every time. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And because we can't do it. But you see, we're born with this flawed infection of sin. And there's just not any person anywhere on this planet that's not been flawed. And it may be some conscious flaw, and there may be some unconscious flaws. You know, you got unconscious flaws you don't even know about. You tick some people off. You ever say, man, what are they mad at me for? It's just something about you they don't like. And there are some people you don't like, so don't look at me like that. There's something about them, all right? But I want you to understand that there's some things that are, they're consciously done, and some things unconsciously done. But Jesus Christ is saying in the scripture that his blood brought us salvation. It heals us from sin. And not only does it heal us from sin, here is the good news of the gospel, and that is that it keeps on healing us as we live in Christ Jesus. In other words, yes, we're saved, and we're eternally saved, and if we keep walking with God, if we keep talking with God, if we keep going in the right direction with God, his blood cleanses us from all sin, and that sin, thank God, has been taken care of. You see, I think it's kind of self-explanatory. Jesus Christ, God's antivirus protection. Anybody got a computer in here? Anybody ever had an infection in your computer? Go see Brother Rich. He can help you. He's the doctor. I had a computer one time, and I had some kind of anti-protection on it, or anti-virus protection, and I don't know what happened. It ran out. I didn't repay it or redo it. I don't know. I just know I didn't have it, I guess. I didn't know I didn't have it at the time. And one day, my computer just went crazy on me, and I took it up to the Geek Squad. That's before I met Brother Rich, okay? They looked at, they analyzed it. They said, man, you got a problem. I said, tell me what I don't know, man. Well, I'm saying you really got a problem. It took about a half hour for them to tell me this. They said, you've got over 1,000 viruses on your computer. I said, what? 1,000? Over 1,000. I said, can't you clean it up? He said, no, man, this one's gone. Okay, you're going to have to get a new one. And you know what? I got a new one. And you know what? From that day to this, I learned my lesson real well. And that is, you better keep your protection. Amen. Now, you better get your antivirus protection and keep it on, because if you don't, you will get it every time. There's no way around it, they told me. If you don't have this protection, no matter. I said, man, I don't even go to bad sites. I don't have to go to bad sites. They said it just, it's going to happen because it's out there. Your computer's going to get sick, okay? It's going to get the virus. That's why you got to take the antivirus shot. That's why you take an antivirus flu shot every year, because if you don't, you're going to get it, okay? And I want you to know Jesus Christ is the antivirus shot. He is the antivirus protection against sin, because sin is in the world. And you know what? You're going to catch it. You got it. But thank God the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, and it keeps us clean. Keeps us clean. Hallelujah. We're infected by the virus of sin. It's in our system. It's in our blood. It's salvation. We don't get a physical blood transfusion, but by faith we reach out and we receive something eternally and spiritually. And I repeat again, in the book of Revelation chapter 12:12, it says that they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's how you overcome, by the blood of the Lamb. And then it says in 1 John 1:7, it says, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and we know that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. And let me tell you something. That Greek word is continuous. It's a continuous tense, okay? And that is, it's not just cleansing us the day we got saved, but it's a continual cleansing, and it cleanses us every day. That means when I'm walking, I'm being cleansed. When I lay down, I'm being cleansed. It's just like your physical blood. Do you know your physical blood is a filter that it just keeps cleansing your body every day? And if I'm sound asleep in the middle of the night, guess what? God made my body to cleanse itself, and every dead cell and every bad cell, I want you to know, is taken out because of the blood that God gave. But thank God beyond that, that is, every day I live in Christ, Christ lives in me, and if he lives in me, he cleanses me. I live for Christ, and Christ lives in me, and I have an anti-sin protection. Glory to God. Christ's blood not only cleanses us as salvation, but it is the active agent that keeps us clean. How'd you like to take a shower and never have to take another one? I'm saying, if it was possible. Okay. I did see a guy one time. It's a true story. When I was 10 years old, I'll never forget. I was at the Root and Scoop. You ever been to Root and Scoop? Well, it's a little convenience store in Oklahoma City. I'm standing there, and the lady says, he says, ma'am, you don't know me, do you? You don't recognize me. She said, no, I don't recognize you. He says, ma'am, I'm so-and-so. She looked at him. You look so different. He said, yeah, I took a bath. That's a true story. He said, I take one once a year. It don't work like that, my friend, okay? But the blood of Jesus does. It cleanses us. Now, there's only one contingency, and that is if we walk in the light. See, there's where it all comes back down. This is where the theological discussion begins. You see, if is a conditional word, okay? It says if we walk. When we walk, what are we walking? We're walking in a direction. And so if we walk in the right direction, we know that his blood cleanses us from all sin. But the if is a conditional word. And so what it tells me, if I don't walk in the light, then his blood does not cleanse me. If I don't keep going in the direction of God, that's why you can backslide. It doesn't mean that you live and you said a bad word or you thought a bad thought, I'm backslid now. No, you need to repent of it. But Jesus' blood just keeps cleansing you and washing you. Because see, this theology is not something that we've been taught as Assembly of God folk. Y'all are quiet. We've been taught, you know, if you're driving down the road and something happens, you said a bad word, the rapture takes place. I just missed the rapture. I got bad news for you. You can't, you live under that, you'll be a miserable wreck. You think the blood of Jesus is less powerful than that? If we sin, he's faithful and just to forgive our sin. If we confess our sin, okay? But sometimes we don't even know when we sin.
Oh, I know when I sin, preacher.
Well, no. Sometimes you don't. Sometimes you do things unconsciously. You're human, right? Amen. It's a sin if you take that one spot at Walmart when the little lady was fixing to pull in and whoosh, jump in there. Praise God, I'm blessed. I'm the head, not the tail. I got a good spot. Well, what about the little lady, man? Give me a break. What I'm saying is, you're not as perfect as you think. You need the blood of Jesus every day. You see, that's where the human example comes in. The Bible said the life of the flesh is in the blood. Your blood is the life of your flesh. Not only does it keep you alive, but it keeps you, and it's designed to keep cleansing your body. And I said that a moment ago, so let me just go over it again. Your blood delivers every nutrient, and it also delivers all the oxygen to the cells that keeps you alive. And you live because you have blood that flows through you. And not only does it do that, but do you know it carries out all of the bad cells too? It cleanses you. It brings all the oxygen. It brings all the nutrients to your body, and it delivers them, and then it picks up the trash and leaves out. Now, can you imagine that? Can you imagine the garbage truck bringing the produce? I mean, the health department would have a fit, wouldn't they, man? They'd go into cardiac arrest if, you know, we delivered all of our produce after we delivered all of our trash. Think about that. That's what the blood of your body does. It carries away all the dead cells, all the wasted products. And I want you to understand, these trash trucks go in and they deliver all the good stuff and they pick up all the bad stuff. And so your blood is continually cleansing your body. Even when you're asleep, it's being cleansed. If I walk in the light as he is in the light, I have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. It is a continual cleansing all the time. And so you know why I get so happy when I sing about the blood? Because if it wasn't for the blood, I would be lost. You know why I preach so much about the blood? Because without the blood, there is no remission of sins. You have to get under the flow of the blood. You've got to fall into the blood. The blood has got to cleanse you. And if you are cleansed, it will continually cleanse you. Real simple. If we walk in the light, how many times have you heard this pastor say, it's not about, everybody sins a little bit every day. I know that, but it's not about that. It's about your direction. It's not about perfection. It's about direction. If we walk in the light, but if you don't walk in the light, you turn and go the wrong direction, then it's not cleansing you anymore. That's the difference between being eternally secure and once saved, always saved, okay? God's not going to hold you as a hostage. You want to run away from God, he'll let you run. All right? But I'm just telling you, if you just stay in there, and I don't care if you're in Christ, you're in Christ. I'm telling you, it's just like when Noah got in the ark. He was in the ark. He fell down a lot of times, I'm sure. Aren't you sure about that? I mean, there was a storm outside. It was rocking and reeling. Had all the animals on there. And every now and then, it'd fall down, get back up, fall down, get back up. I'm just telling you, if you're in Christ, really in Christ, if you've got a transformed heart, and God has changed you, and you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, he will continually cleanse you. And when you fall down, get back up. When you fall down again, get back up. If you have to ride this altar to heaven, go ahead and get there. But I'm telling you, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Oh, hallelujah. Now, this is where our text takes on a metaphor of being our high priest. The priesthood of Levi and Aaron. They only provided the framework, giving law, and the priesthood was perpetuated by Levi's and Aaron's descendants. And that's what the scripture's saying in Hebrews. There come a time they would die and the next son would take it on, and it would go on and on and on. But it's saying here that Jesus Christ is our permanent priest. That's what it's saying. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. Let me give you context of something, and I'm going to close, believe it or not, in a second. Let me give you context. Jesus Christ is our great high priest. He ever lived to make intercession for us. It's the metaphor of the high priest. The high priest went into the Holy of Holies once a year, and I want you to know he offered up sin first for himself because he had to be cleansed of his sin, and then he went into the Holy of Holies and offered up for the whole nation. And I want you to understand the scripture says that Christ didn't have to offer sin for himself because he was the offering for all sin, and he offered himself up, and he's become our high priest. And so he's the sacrifice, and he's also the Savior. He's the great high priest. Listen to me. He maketh intercession for us. That's what the great high priest did. He's making intercession when he put the blood on the altar, making intercession. He's praying for the people of God for their sins, and that God would just forgive their sins or at least cover their sins. And it was a postponement. It was not, you know, it didn't take away the sins. It year after year after year after year, it just kept postponing it. And it was kind of like paying on the prince or the interest instead of the principal. The principal came due, and guess what? On the cross, Jesus Christ paid the principal. That's why I said it is finished, paid in full. Amen. It's all been taken care of. Come to me and I will give you life. Come to me and I am the resurrection. I'm the bread of life. I'm the door to salvation. I am everything that you need. Amen. He makes the intercession for us. You ever pray for somebody? Well, I want you to know somebody's praying for you. And that somebody is Jesus, risen Savior. Because, you know, I've learned others may forget. They may forget you in their prayers. But Jesus will never forget you in his prayers. There's others may promise you a lot of things. And I've had a lot of folks fail me. But I want you to know Jesus will never fail me. And I want you to understand, don't get confused. I know we use this scripture out of context a lot. It says, you know, he maketh intercession for us. You get in trouble, he's praying for you. That's good and that's fine. But in the context of the scripture, you understand it's more powerful than that. It's not just when I'm going through my little earthly trials. That Paul says light affliction. Let the light affliction work, man, because it's going to give way to a whole greater weight of glory after a while. Thank God. You ain't seen nothing yet, so just go through it. And Paul said that's light affliction. But what I'm saying is, we quote this scripture as though, you know, he's making intercession for me that I can go through this fiery furnace. Brother, I want you to understand it goes deeper than that. He's making intercession for us every day that our sins are forgiven. And when Satan comes to him like he does in the book of Revelation chapter 12, and he appeals to the justice of God and says, these people are guilty. These people, you're a judge. You're the judge of the world. And you know these people are guilty. He says, yes, they are guilty, but the blood of my son has cleansed them, and you have no accusation because they're saved. Amen. And we're saved in full. So he's making intercession for us. He's praying for us. Praise God, just like the high priest did. That's the whole metaphor here. You see, that's what the text is all about. He prays to keep us continually covered by the antivirus protection. Amen. Peter, I'm praying for you. Satan will sift you as wheat, but I'm praying for you that your faith does not fail. Guess what? He prophesied that he would fail, and he did. And he did. And he did. Oh, he did. But he prayed that his faith would not fail. And I'm not talking about faith to believe God, you know, for the miracles and the miraculous in your life. And that's fine. I want you to understand. I believe in all of that. And you know I do. I am Pentecostal to the bone. But there's something more important than your body being healed. And that is that your soul is continually being healed. Because after a while, I don't care how many times you get healed. Lazarus got raised from the dead, but he died again. Somebody say amen. And it doesn't matter if God raised you from the dead 25 times, you're still going to die one final time. But the good news is, when they put you in the grave, there is an antivirus that has kept you clean before God, and there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Thank God we're cleansed, we're whole, and we're healed. Amen, amen, amen. Baby, if they don't light your fire, you ain't got nothing to light. Prayed for you. Prayed for you. Even when he was at the tomb of Lazarus, I like this. He prayed to the Father and said, Father, I know you always hear me when I pray. You always hear me when I pray. And sometimes even if I can't pray, you ever been so low you can't pray? Too weak? Well, he's still interceding for you, so that's good news. But in the context, I want you to know, he's interceding for your soul. He's keeping you cleansed. So let me say, come back to the instruments. That kind of sounded like I said, let's come back to this. Let me say this. Come back to the instruments. Oh, come back to the instruments. Now let me say this. You know, sometimes I come here and I preach and you think every time I preach, I'm trying to hit a home run. Oh, it'd be nice. Sometimes I'm just trying to get on base, man. I want you to get this. Okay? I want you to understand. You don't have to live under the condemnation if you're in Christ. It's that simple. Now you say, wait a minute, that just gives us a license. And no, if you read the 5th chapter of Romans, get into the 6th chapter, it says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, he said no. Because your heart's been changed. It's not like you want to do that sometimes. Hello? But I'm just saying, whatever it is, you ask for forgiveness, he forgives you. But if you understand this scripture. See, my theology is built on scripture, not on what people say, but what God said. God said, he's my great high priest. And just as the priest went into the temple, the wilderness, he went into the tabernacle, either way, but that great high priest would offer that sin and make intercession for the people of God. That's what Christ Jesus has done. And he cleanses us from all sin. The truth is, even the most saintly one among us is infected by sin. Everyone has faults. We all have made stupid mistakes. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But remember when Jesus was on the cross, he was interceding on the cross, and he said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Now, a lot of our sins are deliberate. But some are not. Some are not so deliberate. Sometimes we know not what we do. Sometimes I hate to say this, I don't want to offend you, but sometimes we're so ignorant, I'll put myself that, we're so ignorant. We're so human. We're so foolish. That sometimes we do things and we don't even know that we've done them. Do you know there were sacrifices in the Old Testament for sins you didn't know you committed? Hello? I mean, it's not like when I used to visit the Catholic priest when I was a child and there was bad things I did and I learned. I knew how to get around the Catholic priest. I did. I learned. See, what I would do, I would tell him my sins. And one day I told him my sins and you go in and you... And you say, bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It's been 1 week since my last confession. These are my sins. And I tell him my sins. And then he would say, are those all your sins? And I would say, yes, Father. And he would say, okay, then I bless you, my son. Your sins are forgiven of you. And all the sins that you've confessed and the sins that you cannot remember. Shouldn't have said that. Because anytime I did anything bad and I didn't want to tell my priest, what I did was is I told him my sins, and then I would start thinking about something else, get it off my mind, thinking about an elephant or something, you know, just get it in something else in my mind. And he would say, is there anything else? No, I can't remember anything else. And then he would make that magical statement. My sins were forgiven. Go say 10 Hail Marys and your sins be forgiven. I'd go out there, say 10 Hail Marys on my way out, and get a handful of wafers, and I didn't confess that next week either. Oh, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I used to love to eat that communion, man. Priest would have killed me if he'd have known that. But you can't get around God. You can't hide it from God. But there are sins that you don't know sometimes. You see, it's like on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do sometimes. Amen. See, his blood keeps us connected to God. He's able to save us to the uttermost because he ever liveth and maketh intercession for us. Amen. Think about what this implies. You see, prayer is never an isolated thing. It means that that when you pray, you bear someone on your heart. When you make intercession for somebody, you intercede for somebody, yourself, prayed for them. God, forgive them of their sin. God, save them. God, redeem them. Well, that means they're on your heart. Have you ever interceded with someone and really felt it on your heart and just brought you to tears and you cried and you sought God for that person? If you haven't, you haven't experienced that. You need to experience that because it's a wonderful thing. It's like when a mother prays for a prodigal son. She knows he's wandering out there somewhere. She'll pray with all of her heart. Seek God. God, get a hold of him. I don't know where he's at, but God, you do. Any mothers ever pray for their sons or their daughters? You know what I'm talking about. And the fathers pray. Maybe for a wayward daughter, and he loves her, and he prays for her every day. But I'm just telling you, Jesus Christ cares. Puts it on his heart, and he prays for us. So you think your little slip up was, you know, thing you thought or did? You think that disqualified you? No. The one thing that disqualifies you is when you walk away from God. I don't know where that line is. I really don't. I don't want to find out where it's at. But every day of my life, I want to cry out to God, call on him, and know that my sins are forgiven, and know that he's making intercession for me. You ever told somebody you're going to pray for them? Hey, I'll be praying for you, man. Walk off, forget about it. Yeah, you have. That's why anytime I ever tell anybody I'm praying for them, when I turn, I immediately pray for them right then in case I forget. But you know what? Not the Lord. He never forgets. He's making intercession for us. So I close right here. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not a license to sin. I'm talking to Christians now. It's not a license to live like the devil, because if you have that, then you really don't have the right nature. See? I've used this illustration before, but when a pig gets in the mud, he loves it. That's his nature. You can dress him up in a tuxedo, but man, he'll jump in the mud every time you open the door. He's there because that's in his nature. Not a sheep. When sheep fall in the mud, they don't like it. And what they do? They bleed. Bah! Shepherd comes with his stick, pulls him up out of the mud. See, that's his nature. Yeah, you will fall in the mud from time to time. Don't act like you never have. I'm just giving you good news. Just keep bleeding to God. Keep praying to God. Keep connecting. keep walking in the light as he is in the light. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us continually. Thank God. Father, I pray today